Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Well, there were heated exchanges in the Dáil today about affordable housing and high rents, with Social Democrats co-leader Catherine Murphy saying if it was not for the COVID-19 pandemic, there would be protesting on the streets about housing. Well, here's a flavour of the exchanges in the Dáil today.
We are in the grip of a housing crisis, which is a social crisis, indeed a social catastrophe for people up and down the length of this state.
I think if there wasn't a pandemic, we would have boots on the street. People would be out. There would be people on the street protesting at this point, because there's a whole generation that have just simply had enough.
What you need to do is exclude the cuckoos and vultures that Michael Noonan and Brendan Howland invited into this country in 2012, 2013 and 2014.
My focus and the focus of the government is to deal substantively with the issues and to make sure we can create more supply. Because more supply is what is required. We are simply not building enough houses or apartments in Ireland at the current time.
That was Taoiseach Micheál Martin ending that montage. Well, the involvement of investment funds in housing has intensified since it was revealed that one fund was buying 135 of 170 houses at the Mullen Park Estate in Maynooth in County Kildare. And back in 2019, Leilani Farha, who at the time was the UN Special Rapporteur on Housing, wrote directly to our government condemning the huge levels of global capital that was invested in the sector, which has led to the financialisation of housing. And she joins us now on the line. And thank you very much for joining us this evening, Leilani. 2 years ago, you wrote to the government, as I say, expressing concern about, and I quote, the practice of adopting laws and policies which treat housing as a commodity and undermine the enjoyment of housing as a human right. Now, I wonder what led to you writing that letter at the time. Why were you concerned?
Sarah, thanks for inviting me in. I was concerned because I had heard from people in Ireland, I had visited Dublin, that housing was unaffordable, that it had been financialized. In other words, the big capital investors had come in and were buying up properties, contributing to the unaffordability, and that homelessness was also a real issue, as well as even overcrowding, and that there just simply wasn't enough deeply affordable housing for the people of Ireland. And so I felt I should use my position to ask the government of Ireland about that. And so that's why I sent that letter.
And you referred to this as the financialization of housing, which I think is a global phenomenon. But what does that mean when you refer to the financialization of housing?
Sure, and it most certainly is a global phenomenon. It's when housing is used as a place to park, grow, leverage, and even hide money. And it's a global phenomenon in that the actors are global. It's vulture funds or private equity firms backed by insurance companies and pension funds who are investing in real estate as a good bet, right? Because real estate is a solid investment, one with a very good return. But what that means is housing is not being treated as a social good, a human right, a place for people to grow families, and, you know, a place of security. And the pandemic has exposed how important housing as a social good is to protect us, right, from things like a pandemic.
As I say, it's a global phenomenon, and it's something that I think we'd be very familiar with here in Ireland before the crash and before the investment firms were invited in, and maybe not on the scale that we're seeing with the investment firms, but you'd have lots of people individually investing perhaps in a second home to rent, you know, setting themselves up as landlords. Would that all qualify as financialization of housing, and does that not happen everywhere?
I think that's a form of financialization, but I have to be honest to say it's not the one I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with the big investment firms who have so much political power and so much money power. They have the ability to buy money. Money is cheap for investment firms, and they're the ones who are muscling out first-time home buyers, anyone else trying to get a foothold into decent, affordable housing. And that's what you saw with this Maynooth Park Estate and the 135 homes purchased by an investment fund. Mm. That is financialization. I'm not saying those other things aren't part of this phenomenon. Everyone views housing and real estate as their future pension fund. That's not uncommon in countries around the world. But that's not, you cannot compare that, a family who buys a second home, you cannot compare that to these massive investment firms with billions of dollars scooping up en masse homes like they've done in Maynooth, for example.
And have you seen that elsewhere?
Oh, yes. I mean, this is, as I said, it's a global pattern. This is the modus operandi, as they say. The largest investment firm, private equity firm is Blackstone. They buy en masse. I just heard that they bought thousands of units in San Diego yesterday. They did that after the global financial crisis. This really emerged after the global financial crisis, including in Ireland, as a model, purchasing many, many units all at once using a financial instrument called real estate investment trusts that have very favorable tax rates, often paying no taxes at all, no capital gains tax, no corporate tax, no taxes on rent rolls. So it is very common and obviously has a dominance in Ireland.
Yeah, and the reason, and we've heard a very staunch defense of the reason from government in recent weeks for inviting them into this country in 2013 was that there was a need for investment in housing. The construction sector had collapsed. Finance was not easy to come by in order to build houses. And the REITs were one way of doing that. Do you accept that they were necessary, at least at the time?
It's not for me to determine whether they were necessary, but a government cannot contract out of their human rights obligations. And the government of Ireland has human rights obligations in international law regarding the right to housing. So if they're going to invite in investors, they have to ensure those investors don't undermine the right to housing for people in Ireland, and that those investors contribute to the realization of the right to housing. And so when governments invite in investors, they need to be saying to those investors, okay, we need X number of social housing units. We need X number of affordable units, and we need X number of market value units. And ensure that the investors are contributing to addressing housing need in a country. And I don't see any governments doing that. I see the opposite. I see them, including the government of Ireland, inviting them in through tax incentives and doing very little to ensure that they don't undermine the right to housing. And that's the problematic here.
You wrote that letter in 2019 to the Irish government. Did you get any response?
I did get a response, a fairly fulsome response, defending their record and saying that, if I recall, and I apologize, it was several years ago, but saying that, it was understood that they needed to do more in the area of social housing, if I recall. As I said, I'd have to go back to the letter to see exactly how they responded.
The Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said today that the state is intervening. They're rolling out a range of both affordable and social housing. And he said the government's recently announced housing plan was transformative. The government is going to be taking a comprehensive approach, and the target is to build 50,000 social homes. Do you think that'll make an impact, or how far do we have to go on this?
Well, those homes have to be protected as social housing, genuinely social housing in perpetuity, first of all. But supply is not the answer here only. I mean, social housing supply is super important in Ireland. And I think there's estimates. I don't know what the estimates are, but others would be better placed to say whether that's going to be enough. It doesn't sound like enough, because those figures, I think, seem like what was needed back in 2019, and now we're in 2021. So, I think there's probably more social housing needed, but there's more rent protections needed, legislation that protects tenants against rent increases. Rents are unaffordable in Ireland. So what is the government going to do about that to ensure that the investors in housing aren't raising rents astronomically? There's a homelessness problem. So you have to make sure that whatever solutions are being developed, it actually addresses the needs of the homeless population, and not just the housing needs, but often people living in homelessness need social supports, for example. So are those going to be provided as well? Are there issues around discrimination in housing? Is that going to be addressed? So it's much more fulsome than a supply side. And I just want to add that, you know, Ireland is the perfect example of how supply does not answer a housing crisis. That is exactly the problem with what happened in Maynooth, with 135 of 170 units being purchased by a single buyer investor, right? So how does that help? They're going to turn those into rentals. Those then become an income stream for the investment company, and those will become unaffordable. Mm. So supply didn't do any good in Maynooth in that case. And now there are young families in Maynooth who can't perhaps access those homes and build their own equity.
Really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us. We must have you on again, because no doubt this is a topic that is going to continue getting a lot of attention. But for now, Leanne Farha, who is a former UN Special Rapporteur on Housing, thank you very much for joining us.